religion, to converse with them about religion and about mysticism and about God. And he found a ready audience in Merton and his friends. And in fact, Thomas Merton and Brahmachari became very close over the years of their acquaintance, often talking with one another about religion, the search for holiness, the search for truth, the search from God. And Merton, thinking about his encounter with Brahmachari many years later in 1964, wrote this about his friendship with Brahmachari. He wrote, quote, "One of the main things I learned from Dr. Brahmachari was the lesson that one can and must entrust himself to a higher and unseen wisdom," the end of the quotation. That particular remark seems rather banal when one thinks of it simply as stated, but for the young Thomas Merton, it was a moment of insight. It was a moment of realization that he really must entrust himself to a higher and an unseen wisdom. But it remained, of course, a question of which wisdom that would be. And it was Brahmachari who very wisely, realizing that Merton did indeed come from a Christian culture, suggested that he read the religious classics from his own Christian culture, suggesting to Merton that he read the Confessions of St. Augustine, that he read the Imitation of Christ, two books that were certainly central to Christian and particularly Catholic piety in the 1930s. Merton accepted Brahmachari's recommendations, read those books, and his reading became an important part of his own journey to God and his own entry eventually into the Catholic Church. I mention this in our present context simply to highlight the fact that already in his early years, even in his college years, Thomas Merton was in religious conversation not only with fellow Christians, but with others, not just the normal Christian, Jew, Catholic, Protestant persons who would be available in his immediate world, but also a Hindu monk from India whose wisdom played an important role in Merton's own journey to conversion. We all know Merton's story, of course, how he eventually found his way into the Catholic Church, and as a young Catholic, working with some of the most interesting Catholic people of his day, just to mention people like Dorothy Day and others, into whose world he came as a new Catholic, eventually finding his way in the early 1940s to the Trappist Monastery of Our Lady of Gethsemane in Kentucky, becoming a monk there in the early 1940s. Merton spent almost 20 years in what one might call monastic seclusion. He grew as a monk, he studied as a monk, he became a writer and a poet who became, by the early 1950s, very well known in the Roman Catholic world. He had a genius for reading, interpreting, and expressing the main points of the classical spiritual writings in the Catholic and Christian tradition. That was no small accomplishment in the 1940s and early 1950s. After the success of his autobiography, The Seven Story Mountain, and his name became known to the reading public generally and to many Catholic people, his very reputation attracted readers to the works he wrote in the 20-some years between 1947, when he published the Seven Story Mountain, and the 60s, when he began the correspondence with people of other religions.